Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bonnie Kay and my co-hostess, Misty Hall. And we're here tonight to greet you for our show on Straight Wives. Hi, Misty.
Hi, Bonnie.
How was your week this week?
I had a wonderful week this week. Finally digging out from some of the snow. We had sunshine today in this grand state of Kentucky.
Yes, and I'm in Philadelphia, and we're still under snow, but hopefully moving out of it. So, Misty, I was very excited that our first show had such a great reception. We were able to have, you know, a good number of listeners, and now that we're live and advertising it, hopefully there will be a lot more women out there. I think that a lot of people don't realize how immense this situation is and this problem, because you always feel so isolated when you're going through it yourself. So women have to be aware that there are millions of women in this country alone that are going through this problem, and that no woman has to feel alone or that it's her fault, because there's support there, and that's what we're there to talk to you about. And if you do have questions, I'd like to give you our guest call-in number. So get a pencil, and the number is area code 646-716-4893. And we not only welcome women callers, but also if you're a gay man in this situation and you need help or support, please feel free to call us at area code 646-716-4893. So, Misty, there were several different issues that, you know, I thought we could talk about tonight to get started. And the first one is the subject of bisexuality, which, you know, is one of my favorite subjects to discuss, or shall I say the myth of bisexuality.
Yes.
And how do you feel about that?
Wow. Excuse me. Bisexuality. Well, by definition, someone should be equally attracted to both sexes, and I think that's not what we run into when we work with straight wives. I know for myself it isn't, and I know you and I have shared that for yourself it isn't either. It's sad. It's really sad. When a straight wife comes to me and tells me, at first they think that their husband is gay, and then after admission, sometimes the husband will admit that they're not gay but bisexual. And unfortunately, we've talked about this before, how that this just leads to false hope. It's so damaging to the straight wife when they think that there is hope for the relationship and there's hope that the spouse is bisexual. But the sad part is, and the question I always bring about, is your partner still sexually attracted to you? Because if they are bisexual, they should be attracted to the woman as well. And unfortunately, I've never had a woman to answer me, yes, my husband's still attracted to me. So it's really sad, and it's just so devastating to a woman.
Well, just not to confuse people, Misty, I want to be clear on that. I do have women who tell me their husbands are bisexual and they are still having sexual relationships with them. So a lot of that depends on a lot of different situations. So let's talk a little bit about that, because we both understand that when a guy
is
in his 20s.
It's a very complicated situation. There's many.
Right. A lot of times when you're in your 20s, any kind of sex feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the emotional end of that marriage, when a man is trying not to be gay, he can perform sex with his wife and with men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that really becomes more difficult as time goes on, and when we work with women who have been in marriages for a long time, it's just not happening. But I think it's confusing to women who are just finding out, who may be in their 20s or their 30s or even their 40s, that their husbands are still having sexual relationships with them while they're having sex with men. So I think it's not necessarily the attraction that they feel attracted to the woman, but more of an emotional need to keep proving to themselves that they are not gay. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes, absolutely. And the bisexuality, you did so well by pointing that out. There's so many myths surrounded by the straight wife and the bisexuality part, just like you said. In the oftentimes some of these women, they come to us and they have had a great sex life with their partner. So it's important to point that out. And when they reflect back over the years, sometimes, like you just said, in the 20s it was great. Sometimes in the 30s, sometimes it tapered off towards the end, maybe into the 40s. Sometimes it lasted through the 40s. Each person is different.
Exactly.
So, but it gets to a point to where, like you said, oftentimes they just can't sexually perform with their
One of the interesting things that I found out, which really I was not aware of, but several men have told me this through the years, that they definitely were not sexually attracted to their wives, but they made it their job and their duty to become the best lovers possible so that their wives would never find out about their homosexuality. So even though they didn't particularly like doing it, they did it, and their wives really had no idea because these men put on the greatest performances of all time. And I think that as hurtful as that is to realize it, there are men who are in such deep denial of wanting to come out and being gay that they will go to these extremes. Not many, but there are a few.
Yeah.
So as you said, there are so many different situations. You can't let any one situation just make, you know, your case.
Exactly. I think that's a very good point to point out. When we bring up different topics, all these topics, even though the threads running through this piece of fabric are so similar, there's going to be different color threads, you know. So some people are going to latch onto some things that fit them, other things won't. And the bisexuality part is just, I'm hearing more, I'm not sure about you, but I know with myself and some of the women I'm working with, I'm hearing that word more and more and more.
I think that a lot of times that men will, first of all, rather than say I'm gay, they will say bisexual. And we recognize, both you and I, how difficult it is to be gay in this American society, or most societies, come to think of it, that if you can think of yourself as not being gay or try your best by being, and there are those men who are really emotionally attached to their wives, and they're emotionally attached to the straight life, and they really can't relate to the gay world as being their world, and that's why they consider themselves bisexual. They feel it's only the sexual part of them that's gay, but they are not gay otherwise. They're very confused, even though they don't identify as being gay. But I tell women, doesn't matter how you identify, it's what you're doing in bed. And if men are having sexual relationships with men, that no matter what you want to call it, it's gay. You can dress it up any way you want. You can call it whatever you want. It's just like when women contact me who say they have husbands who are transsexuals or who are into transgendered or who are asexual, bisexual, any kind of sexual you want to call it. When a man wants a penis, it just comes down to that. He's gay.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And this, and I'd like to point out something that you just discussed that's so important. I think most often and more often than not, the gay partner in this situation is very confused. I mean, let's face it, it's not easy being homosexual in our society or in probably just about any society in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I know it must be very difficult. And I think the wording wrapped around that makes it even more so difficult. And unfortunately, I think a lot of them are able to latch on to the bisexuality part once they get caught by their spouse, by their wife, or once that they have divulged the information to their wife. So bisexuality just doesn't seem to carry with it the negativity that the word gay does.
And I know that in my own marriage when it happened, I was certainly able to live with that word bisexual a lot easier than living with the word gay.
Yes.
And I think that all women who are going through this, when they think bisexual, as you mentioned earlier, it's a sense of false hope. That if a man could love and want to be with a man and a woman, if you could only love him enough or be supportive enough or be a strong enough wife to him, then that other nagging feelings that he has towards men will disappear because he's going to love you enough not to want a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the major problem comes in. It really delays these marriages far longer than they need to be delayed. You know, keep women in a state of false hope and kind of a stupor thinking that he's going to change when there is no possibility of change.
Well, I see the straight wife keep adapting and changing and trying to be more of the woman, more, you know, more sexy, and only to be just rejected just as much or just as more as what they were before. And that's very damaging. It's very damaging to both sides, I think it's important to point out. It's not only damaging for the straight wife, it's damaging for the gay husband, too, not to live their truth. And to be hanging on and not venture out there and be who they are.
That's true. Living a lie every day has to really be very difficult on anyone's psyche and sense of being. But as I've had some of my gay friends tell me, that these men can detach themselves and compartmentalize themselves, where they really think that, you know, they have two separate lives and neither the one will clash. And they can live their life like that for many, many years, if not indefinitely, just not really feeling any sense of remorse or guilt on either end. And that's why, even though it is their struggle, I still feel that they have a choice where their wives really don't.
Absolutely. I have to agree with everything you just said. And another thing, I think this brings rise to pay attention to also, how that when someone defines themselves as bisexual, also how that they define sex. A lot of these gay men, or bisexual men as they call themselves, do not define it as having sex if they only limit it to oral sex.
Yes, we were having
that
conversation earlier. And so many of these men feel that, first of all, they're not even cheating on a woman because they're cheating with a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's one issue. They feel that that is not considered cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they are cheating with a man, if they're having oral sex, that's not really cheating either.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is part of the big denial factor, that you can put yourself in whatever state of mind you want and claim that you're not cheating, but the reality is that, do you feel any better because your husband's having oral sex with a man instead of anal sex? I don't think so. It would never make me feel better.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree with that. And that's what's so hard and so difficult about it. They keep redefining and resetting the rules of the marriage without the straight wife's input, basically. I think I find that very disturbing in a lot of these relationships where that, you know, oftentimes the husband does compartmentalize the relationship. Oftentimes these men, they travel for business or they travel for different reasons, and they get their needs met. And
I know, and I think that's such a big hint. When you see your husband's traveling a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the things that we could talk about tonight is, you know, different red flags that women miss all the time, because
mm-hmm.
that often comes up to us. How am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to tell? Can you give us some hints? And I tell women that, you know, you can become your own detective and you can drive yourself insane. But a study that was done in England, you know, in the past few years really revealed, and it was done in England and the United States, that there are over 65% of gay men who are married who are never sure whether or not well, 43% said they'll never tell their wives, and another 20-some percent said they don't think they're going to tell their wives. So it's not like this is something that's going to necessarily come out one day, because if these men can't be honest, then you're never going to really find out. So you can be your own detective, and you can look for a million different hints and different clues, but the reality is that you may still never find anything out, because when somebody's living a lie, sometimes they really do cover their tracks. But other men are really careless, and that's why we always like to give women different ways that you can find of catching your husbands if they're having these kind of relationships. So, Misty, maybe you can talk about some of the ways that you've heard women express this.
Wow. There's so many different ways.
How about with the Internet? Let's start there.
The Internet, wow. First of all, I'd like to even go back a little bit before that, before the Internet. I'd like to include women's intuition.
That's a very good one.
Yes, I think when we go through this, and I'm speaking for myself and on behalf of many of the women I've worked with, most all of us had this gnawing feeling that something wasn't right, then come to discover or come to think it, with their intuition, I think my husband's gay. And I think that's the first red flag. It's when you start having that intuition of thinking, something's just not right. Something's just not right with this in terms of, you know, the connection I feel like a man and woman should have together. So I think we really need to honor women's intuition. Because I don't know about you, but I know with myself, I have never had a woman client come to me and be wrong about her intuition.
I think in all of my years of doing this, almost, I guess, 25, 26 years, that maybe once out of tens of thousands of women have I ever been able to say, I think that your suspicions are wrong.
Wow.
But I agree with you. Is, you know, when women come to me, I always say to them, why are you coming to me? You know, why are you coming to the woman who's working with women married to gay men? There must be something that you're feeling in order for you to have to even, you know, drop me a line or make this call. Because otherwise, why wouldn't you think that your husband's having an affair with a woman?
Exactly.
Because,
and I know,
I mean, that would not
failed.
Be my... If I was married to a straight man, trust me, I would not be thinking he's out cheating with a man. I've been married to both.
Exactly. And going back, I'm going to give myself as an example. Going back to myself, I always knew it was with a man. I knew he was not cheating with a woman. And this was before I had proof of anything or before I found proof. It was that intuition, unfortunately. I didn't trust it as early as I should have. However, you know, like we always say, hindsight is 20/20, and that's what I try to help the women that I work with. Hey, listen to your intuition. It's there for a reason. Honor it.
And I don't think it's so much that we don't listen to it. I think it's that we're hoping against it and that we don't understand it.
Yes.
And once again, let me just give our call-out number. If you'd like to call in and ask us any questions or talk about your situation, please call us at area code 646-716-4893, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions you have. Also, if you would like to email me any questions, feel free to email me at bonkaye@aol.com during this broadcast, and I'll be happy to address any issues that you would like to hear us discuss. I'm sorry, Misty. Let's go back to where we were talking about intuition.
Yes, intuition, I think, is so important for us to recognize. I think that's one of the best red flags we have, is to honor and listen to our intuition. And then, like you said, then go from there. Start being the detective. The Internet's a great place to start. I know that's how I discovered my ex was going out and meeting other men. It was with the Internet. And
I want to talk a little bit about the Internet also, Misty, because so many women write in and they blame the Internet for their husband's homosexuality. They really believe that if there were no Internet, their husbands would not have access to all of these gay websites and to meeting new gay men. And I like to reassure them that gay was there long before the Internet, and it may not have been quite as accessible, but you would always find it wherever you go, that you can't blame the Internet. And if anything, the Internet gives you greater access to see what your husband's doing, that you should feel that at least you have a chance of catching him if he's visiting gay websites or going into gay chat rooms.
I have to agree with that, absolutely. I cannot personally myself, I cannot blame the Internet with what my ex was doing. Just like you said, I think they will find a way. There is going to be a way. However, with the Internet, sometimes it's easier to track what they're doing. And the Internet, I think what it does, it opens the door to opportunity, making it a little bit easier to find someone. But it goes back to, why are they looking?
And a lot of times women will also blame themselves when this goes on, you know, which I know is diverting a bit from what we're talking about, but it's so important to keep reminding you that there's nothing that you could do in your marriage that's going to make a difference. There's nothing you could do as far as being a better wife, looking better, losing weight, gaining weight, having any kind of surgery, increasing your bust line. And believe me, I've worked with plenty of women who have tried every kind of physical trick, mental trick, to be, you know, a different kind of woman. But that's the whole point. You're trying to be a different kind of woman, and these men are looking for a man. So there's nothing you can do as far as changing what your husband's sexuality is. So,
oh, that's a great point to make, Bonnie. So many of these women I work with, and as you know, women you've worked with, their self-esteem is just at the rock bottom. And these women are absolutely beautiful, professional, educated, worldly smart women that we work with. And it's terrible to see them feel like this, just feel so terrible about themselves, because they have tried to make themselves more beautiful with things like you've said. They've gone on this diet, they've gone on that diet, or they've tried to put on a few pounds. Like you said, maybe they've had plastic surgery, constantly doing something. And you know what? It's always ends up in their husband not paying any more attention to them and just hurting them more. And that's what happens. The straight wife internalizes this as their fault when really it's not. It's like you said, they're not a man, they're a woman. That's the problem.
And it really makes you feel damaged as a woman. It takes away whatever kind of sexual esteem you have, because to me nothing is more humiliating or more embarrassing than to have to feel rejected sexually by your husband. And
absolutely,
we've had some wonderful stories from women who have heard the worst of worst things from their husbands of why they don't want to have sex with them, which has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It's just the fact that they're women and they're making excuses. And I know that you found that also in the work that you're doing, correct?
Absolutely. Excuse me. What I have found is that with myself and many of the women I have worked with and am working with currently, find a way to put our sexuality into remission because we feel like it's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you don't honor that. And oftentimes we write off as, well, you know, we're more comfortable with each other as a couple, so, you know, we're not going to have sex as much. That's true. But it's also true that there's many ways to be intimate. And oftentimes I find that these couples, including my own past relationship with my ex-gay husband, there was no intimacy.
Exactly.
It wasn't just sex. There was no intimacy.
And I think that sexuality in a relationship builds the intimacy. And people go through good times and bad times and times of health and times of sickness when you can't always have sexual relationships. However, if you have the intimacy that's built up, you know, that could at least substitute until things change.
Exactly.
But when you don't have that intimacy because it was never there to start with, you have nothing to fall back on. And then I tell women, you're not living in a marriage, you're living in a roommateship. You're living with someone. I wouldn't call it a marriage, it may be a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not what marriage is supposed to be about.
Exactly. And oftentimes, I find women, they will just keep settling for less and less and less. And it's really sad because, you know, a marriage and a relationship is about give and take. I understand that. You know, my background is a marriage and family therapist. Marriage is about give and take. It's about sharing. It's about, you know, one picking up, the other one taking over a little bit more. Just there's compromises throughout the whole thing. However, when it comes to a gay husband and a straight wife, there should be no compromise when it comes to someone's sexuality. And there should be no compromise when it comes to intimacy. Granted, there are times when people cannot have sex. We all understand that. However, there's always ways to show your partner that you love them and that you care for them. And what I find, a lot of these marriages lack that.
Right. How many women do we deal with who say the most they get is a peck on the cheek? And this is the extent of the intimacy in their marriage or the affection in their marriage. And it's really sad when I work with women who have been married for 25, 30 years and the only person they've been with is their gay husband, that they've never had the advantage of knowing what it is to have a man who is passionate about them, who wants to make love to them, who has to wants to pursue them. They often tell me they've been the pursuers or they're the ones who have to always initiate. And after being slapped down enough times, they just stop asking, as you mentioned.
Yes. And by that time, that's when I find that a lot of these wives, they put themselves, like I did, into sexual, what I call sexual remission. You just pull back.
And I think that's so sad. It really steals from women what's naturally given to them.
Mm-hmm. It's damaging to the feminine spirit. It really is.
And how do you work with women in restoring that, Misty?
Wow. There's lots of ways. The great part, the beautiful part is that the whole human spirit is resilient. It really is. I mean, you can repair yourself beyond belief. You can have a beautiful life beyond belief. You can, you know, you can dream it, you can be it, you can do it. That's one great thing of living in this great country that we have. We do have all kinds of freedoms. you know, we can drive, we have sexual freedoms, we have all these freedoms that a lot of countries don't have. And on top of that, our human spirit is very resilient, very resilient. So one of the things that I work with women on is to repair yourself. And to repair yourself, it's not just to repair yourself physically. I mean, you've got to work in all areas, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, we can't forget, you know, all these areas that make up who we are. And also a part of that is our sexuality or our femininity, if you want to call it. Whatever it is, whatever name you want to give it, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest ways to build yourself up is, I have a lot of my clients to start building a list, because oftentimes when we talk for the first time, it's so sad because they can't tell me two or three things that makes them feel like a woman. They can't even tell me. And it's really sad. So a lot of times I work with them and say, okay, what about this or what about that? You know, I ask them certain questions to try to find things that maybe they've done in the past. So a really good question is, you know, what have you done in the past that makes you feel feminine, or what makes you feel like a woman? When do you really feel like you're sexy?
Mm-hmm.
Those types of questions. And oftentimes it's the very simple things. A lot of women, they love getting the pedicures. I mean, that can be one little step. Another little step could be, you know, getting a manicure or just painting your nails a
mm-hmm.
certain color that you like. I've worked with so many women that they feel so beaten down and broken by the time they come to me for the coaching services. Bonnie, they can't even tell me their favorite color. They don't even know what they want to have for dinner.
They've just lost their whole identity.
They have, and it's so sad. And, you know, when you start building yourself up, you know, just make a little list of things that make you feel like a woman. And be committed to that list. Do at least one thing a week. And it can be small things. You don't have to go get a pedicure every week. You don't have to get a manicure every week. But you know what? You can sit down and do your own nails. You can paint them a pink color, a blue, whatever color you like. It doesn't matter. Maybe try a new hairstyle. What makes you feel like a woman?
Right. And this, we're not talking about sex now. We're talking about trying to rediscover who you are as a woman.
Absolutely. Because you know what? I have found that's one thing about going through this type of grief. It completely shatters us and breaks us wide open.
And as long as we're on that topic, Misty, I would like to talk about a subject tied in with sexuality that I think it's so important for our listeners to understand. That so many times when women come out of these marriages and they're really feeling very broken down and very rejected, you know, they could go one of two ways. They either go, well, I'm not having sex again, or they can go, well, I'm going to go with the first guy who wants me to prove that I am a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those women who take that second choice, that just ends up in such disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've seen that happen also.
Absolutely.
Where you're just trying to prove to yourself that somebody wants you, but you're trying to prove it really in the wrong way.
Well, searching for love in all the wrong places, I would call that.
Absolutely.
And that's one great thing about being broken open and trying to redefine yourself. Give
uh-huh.
yourself the time and opportunity to rebuild.
Uh-huh.
That's so important, because this is such a grief situation, and we've talked about this a lot in the chat room. When you go through a grief situation, you need to honor those things you're going through.
You uh-huh.
know, as we say in the South, you know, jump out of the frying pan into the fire.
Absolutely.
You start seeking all these relationships, because you're going to find commonalities in these relationships that you seek if you don't work on yourself first. For example, you know, you may find a straight man, but he may be abusive in similar ways that your gay ex-husband was.
Exactly. That's what I tell women, and there are so many predators out there. And it's not that necessarily you're going to find another gay man, but you're going to find another predator who's looking to take advantage of you and your good nature and your givingness because you don't feel good enough about yourself. And that's why I have some women who write to me that they've had multiple marriages to gay men because they keep repeating that mistake over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking for love in the wrong places, as you said.
Yeah.
I do want to mention to you, Misty, that we just had a letter come in through the email at bondk@aol, and I'd like to read it to you to get your response. And this is from one of our listeners, and he wrote in, "My name is Frederick Martin in the Fields, and I'm the son of a closeted gay man who went out of his way to hide his true nature. And being from a Latin macho country, any admission of battling for the other side would have meant utter dishonor for him, though he couldn't hide the truth from his own family for long until his own son put him in a fix. My own brother turned out gay, and he not only emerged from the closet, but within his own claque, he was flamboyant as a drag queen as he could be in West Hollywood. However, the family was so ashamed, he was always dumped his guilt on me, uselessly, because we all knew what he was. Then another brother, who had always been involved in gangs and criminal violence to show how macho he was, ended up getting raped in prison repeatedly, and so even though he may not have been gay, within the gangs he belonged to, he got a reputation for being a submissive bottom. As a result, he lashed out against us, his family, and put us through hell, committing one atrocity after another to prove he was so macho and not a submissive person. My mother, straight wife of a gay man, and mother thereof as well, just tuned out from reality, and even though Dad has been dead these last years, she has reached her 80th year and still can't face the truth she lived with for so many years. But the rest of us, the other children, were humiliated by their contradictory antics. So what can you tell us in order to requite our emotions with the repressed traumas? I'm sorry.
Wow,
isn't that a sad story?
Wow, that makes my heart goes out for the whole family. It really does. This is what happens when we don't live our truth. We not only affect ourselves, it falls out in the whole family.
And I think that, as you said earlier, Misty, that a lot of us have choices that we can make in this, you know, country. Mm-hmm. A lot of other people of different cultures and in other countries have no choices.
Yeah.
And I know that because I get letters from them all the time, people who live in Muslim countries or people who live in Asian countries or the Indian culture,
mm-hmm.
where gay is just not an allowable situation. You know, if you marry, in fact, one of the countries, I won't go into it, said that if you marry somebody gay and you complain because your husband's gay, they blame you for it and you're the one at fault.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the cultural tradition. But I even heard from a very lovely man the other day who's a Muslim who's living in an Arab country who asked my advice if I thought he should marry a lesbian in the same situation, that they could be friends. Of course, they can't be openly gay, but at least, you know, he wouldn't have to ruin somebody else's life.
Wow.
You know, and not make some straight woman's life miserable, and they could at least maybe have a child together and give the semblance of having a straight life, because
mm-hmm.
there's no way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say it's so sad when you have people from other cultures who are really penalized for this. And I know with the Latina culture, certainly, is very unacceptable in many families, as it is
yes.
in other cultures as well.
I know. I live in Florida for part of the year, and I'm surrounded, you know, by a lot of Hispanics and Latino, and it's just so sad that they're expected to be this ultra macho type. Isn't it sad when you can't live your own truth? What can happen when you can't be accepted for who you are and what you are? And this is what happens. This is what, you know, I call out to parents on this. Parents, please, when you have children, accept them for who they are. I mean, you know, you have to make your children behave and give them certain principles and guidelines and mentor them into being who they are. But, you know, accept them for who they are. Please accept your children for who they are. Love them for who they are.
And that
brings me to another really good point that you're bringing up, Misty,
about when you have children. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there's several different issues here. First of all, statistics have proven that when you have one gay parent, your chances of having a gay child are higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality. I mean, you and I both believe in the genetic, you know, situation there,
yes.
and that gay is not singular in any particular case, that we see it running in families, that we see the gay gene, you know, appearing from generation to generation, whether it's a father, an uncle, a mother, or otherwise. But I never find gay totally isolated and on its own.
Mm-mm.
So usually it's within, you know, it could be in any family. I mean, it's 10% of the population. But it's really important for parents who find out, you know, especially women, wives who find out that they have a gay husband, how they handle this with their children because of the fact that you have twice as high a chance of your child being gay. And although women say that it wouldn't bother them if their child was gay, it's different than when their husband's gay. And in many cases, I truly believe that you still have to watch what you say around children as they're growing up about gay, because it's their self-image that you could be destroying. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. The first thing I tell parents when they have children, I say, you know, children are even more resilient than adults. They really are. I mean, they can get through things better than we can sometimes, because as adults, we have all this baggage we're trying to get rid of ourselves, and then we add on more baggage and more baggage as we go throughout life. But children, they're very resilient. And what I tell parents is, you know, don't let your children carry the burden of your pain. This is between you and your husband or soon-to-be husband. Do not let your children be ashamed of who they are or who their family is. Don't keep the secrets, you know. But when you tell children things, tell them that's age-appropriate. And ideally, both parents would sit down and tell them and give them the talk, you know, I'm gay, or do you know what that means? You know, especially when you're dealing with children in teenage years, you have to be careful, because you know what? I grew up as a girl, and I am a woman, and, you know, I'm a heterosexual female. And I tell you what, I think girls have it a little bit easier growing up in our society when we hit puberty. Mm-hmm. As for guys, you know, I always felt sorry for the guys going through puberty, you know, because it's hard enough the way it is. Their voice changes. At least we don't have to go through all that. So I think especially boys, I find, seem to question themselves more.
And especially if they have a gay parent.
Absolutely. That's where I was going to with this. So just be careful when and how you tell your children, and don't do it in a way that where you're letting the children carry the burden of your pain. Absolutely, as a wife, you're in pain, you're crushed. No one wants the trauma of this discovery. No one does. However, find your outlet. Find somewhere to get support. Don't seek support in your children. Because, like you just said, chances are you may have a gay child too.
And certainly know that happened to me, Misty.
Careful.
And I know that when my daughter, you know, I never thought about my daughter when I had two children, one's a girl, one's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a natural instinct for all of us who are married to a gay man to wonder about our sons and not our daughters. But there's certainly plenty of daughters out there who are lesbians. And if we give all these negative gay messages, of course, they're not going to feel good about themselves. And so they'll go into the same kind of hiding that their fathers have been going into. No, and I think it's the hardest news for a parent to hear, other than my husband's gay, is that my child is gay, so I don't want to minimize it.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely a very devastating news to hear, because it's just something that we're not accustomed to. It's something that we're not really in sync with. This is something that we never expected to happen for our children, but it can be a reality, and if you love your child, you can't let that stand in the way of your relationship with your child.
Absolutely. And I think that is worth saying over and over again. That's so important, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important, is to realize, you know, don't let this come between the relationship between you and your child.
And I've seen that happen to many children, where their parents will just write them off, or they refuse to be involved with them and have their children come, you know, children and their friends come to their house or their significant others, and it really breaks apart a family instead of joins it together.
It breaks my heart when I see that, and I have seen this happen where that child has grown up to marry a heterosexual,
mm-hmm.
and it really saddens me. It, you know, that what a parent that does that is they're perpetuating the secret. You know, they're promoting the child to keep the secret and to do the same thing, repeat the family history. You know, that in our great country that we're in, that's not what has to happen.
And I know a lot of times it also happens because of deep religious beliefs.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think of that movie about Bobby that was on recently. I don't know if you had a chance to catch that movie. about the young boy who came from a very religious family. And this is back in the 1980s. And his mother was totally unable to accept who he was. You know, she kept trying every kind of therapy to change him, aversion therapy, all kinds of therapy to make him straight. And nothing worked. And she just could not accept him that way. And even though she loved him differently or from a distance or only if he's willing to change. And it actually caused a suicide. And at that point, his mother became one of the greatest activists for gay rights. But, you know, what tragedy had to happen first before that happened?
Absolutely. That is a tragedy. What a tragedy. You know, and I know it's difficult for parents to have a child that's gay or lesbian. I know it's difficult. And, you know, it's because you have a whole set of expectations for that child, you know, to grow up, have the, you know, if you have a daughter, you want them to have the Cinderella wedding and, you know, the son to have the most wonderful wife and life, you know. So we have those expectations, and it is hurtful. So, you know, if you need support in that, there's places out there. Find support.
Absolutely, because you have your PFLAG groups, you know, and your friends and families of lesbians and gays and parents of lesbian and gays. And it's really important to reach out if this is your situation rather than harbor it inwardly or to take it out on your child to really get the support and help you need in accepting children who may be going through this.
Absolutely. That's a great point to make, Bonnie, a great point. And back to the question, I'm not sure we fully answered that, it was the write-in question.
Yeah.
Another point I'd like to make, I'm changing the subject a bit, but, you know, it's never too late to seek counseling for traumas, especially when a family has been pulled apart so much, and especially in the Latin culture where men are just supposed to be so macho. So I say, you know, the best thing to do, the best gift you can give yourself is to seek a counselor, to seek a therapist to understand your culture and that will work with you. I mean, reach out. And if you don't have insurance, there's lots of agencies out there, mental health agencies that are great mental health agencies that will do work on a sliding fee scale. This isn't stuff to really walk along or stuff that, you know, you can find in some self-help book. You know, seek the advice of a professional.
I absolutely agree, Misty. And while we're on the subject of professional help, can you talk a little bit about your coaching and counseling services?
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. And I wasn't even putting that in for a plug. Thanks for asking. Because I have a background in marriage and family therapy and worked a lot with grief people through hospice. And then through you convinced me that I needed to start working with the straight wives, and it's just been such a blessing, I must say, and such an honor. What an honor. And what I do is, after you convinced me and told me how many women are still in these marriages and these things that still happen, I think at one point you gave me an estimate of approximately 4 million marriages.
That's correct.
In our country alone. When you told me that there were that many women involved in gay straight marriages, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was just really shocked because you have to understand, my marriage took place in the 90s. So I thought...
You thought the problem had been...
I thought, for the most part...
You thought we outgrew it?
Yes, I mean, I have a lot of gay friends, and I've got, you know, so many people I just feel are so accepting of gay people, that a lot of this had gone away. And
Missy, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we do have a caller, so let me see if I can get our caller in with us.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you're with Bonnie and Misty.
This is Amy. Hi.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm getting by.
Thanks for calling us. How are you doing tonight, Amy?
Oh, you know, I'm getting through it. It's been about a month since I found out about my husband, and it's been difficult.
Well, after just a month, you're very lucky you can even get on the phone and have this conversation.
Yeah.
We think you're doing great, don't we, Misty?
Absolutely. I don't know if I could have dialed the number at 1 month. So just take a deep breath, breathe in, and just be proud of yourself for being able to show up for the call. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. You know, I thought it was interesting. You guys were talking about children that are also gay.
Mm-hmm.
And our son, our 20-year-old son, is also gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been out for a long time. I will say when he was 3 years old, I was taking him to a counselor because I wasn't sure what the heck was going on with him, you know. And so we've known about it for a long time. And I'll tell you, I tried to blame my husband for that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see now that that's kind of silly, but, you know, it was interesting.
It's silly, but I think it's a normal reaction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that, you know, naturally it is a genetic type of trait that is handed down. And so I think it's easy to put that finger there when you want to blame someone.
But oh, sure.
But it's something that, unfortunately, none of us have any control of. And how long were you married?
Well, we're still kind of in that process, but in June it'll be 23 years.
Right, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that when you got married, and, you know, I can't speak for your husband, but chances are that he really wasn't aware of his homosexuality. Or if he was aware of those feelings, he was hoping that by marrying you and loving you enough, those feelings would go away.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
So many of these men really do love their wives. It's not like they're trying to trick us, you know.
No.
Lead us
no, but
life.
like he tells me all the time, he goes, you know, if I can't tell the truth to myself, how could I tell it to anybody else? And, you know, he's been lying to himself a long time.
And that happens with many of these men that I've worked with. They do lie to themselves because it's just easier than having to face the truth.
Yeah.
You know, they're living with women who they really love. They have a family that they've established.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, when you have a gay child and you're gay, it would make the transition so much easier for the child if the child knew the father was gay.
You know, that hasn't been the case for me. You know, Jared, my son, is extremely upset at his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And both my children are. I have an 18-year-old daughter also.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both very upset with their father because, you know, like they tell him repeatedly, it's okay to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not okay to lie and cheat, which
exactly.
is what exactly he's done. And
mm-hmm.
my children have a very strong relationship with their father. They love him. I mean, he's always been a fantastic dad to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they worship him. I mean, he's a good man. He's just done some really bad things.
Exactly.
And it's tough for him. It's tough for all of us. You know, they hate thinking that about their father, you know, and their father hates them knowing that they know all these horrible things about him, too. You know, but we've been very upfront. We sat down this morning and had a round table with all four of us because my daughter was here from college. And we had a long talk, and I asked if they needed to say anything, and it was tough on them.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard. It was worthwhile.
How long has your son been out?
Well, you know, I think we've known it most of his life just because of, you know, some certain things that he would do, and he's always, you know, he's a hairdresser now. He just finished, cosmetology school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've, you know, he actually told me probably 5 years ago.
Right. No, I wasn't curious about how long you've known. I'm just curious how long he's been open about it.
I think he always has been on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he's ever, and, you know, that's the amazing part to me, you have a 20-year-old and an almost 50-year-old, how different that coming out process is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's another thing that, you know, I can have a lot of sympathy for. I grew up in a similar situation to my husband. And, you know, we were both born in 60, he was born in 60, I was born in 61, so, you know, I can have a lot of empathy for him on some level about what it was like for him growing up. You weren't supposed to be gay,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that time. You were not supposed to be gay.
And
exactly.
gay could be changed as well. Remember, you're dealing at a time. I've worked with women before about your same time frame, and she knew before she married, and in several instances, I've worked with different women. One particular woman, her husband disclosed to her. However, you know what? During the 60s and 70s, weren't we all told, well, just get married. It'll go away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and my husband, he did talk to me about this before we got married. And to be honest, I had no concept of what that meant.
Exactly.
You know,
and I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy, because we want women to know that, you know, men come back later and say, well, I told her.
Exactly.
Well, maybe you did, but what did we understand?
Yeah.
Maybe you told us, but you were marrying us.
Yeah.
So we felt that whatever feelings you may have had or whatever past relationships you may have had, They were over. You made a choice. We
yeah.
didn't understand homosexuality. You don't understand. I mean, they don't understand homosexuality. How are we supposed to understand it?
Yeah. You know, there's so many, like I call them the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. And so many times I've, you know, raked him over the coals about this repeatedly. You know, you could have said something more to me. You didn't make me understand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, yeah. But, of course, he wanted that. He wanted everything that we've had for almost 25 years, you know. We've been together for almost 25 years.
It's
he
a
wanted
lifetime.
It all. Yeah, yeah. You know, and here I am, 48 years old, thinking, what the hell am I going to do now? You know, it's shocking to me to think, you know, I'm dating at 48.
Well,
that concept
right.
just shocks me like you wouldn't believe. It's just not even part of my...
Well, that's okay. You can find a whole new life. I did.
And yeah.
As did so many of our women, and I wasn't until I was 50.
But,
well,
in
my 40s, I'm sorry. But
yeah.
let me just ask you several questions.
Okay.
You know, after you knew initially when he discussed it somewhat with you,
mm-hmm.
did it come up in the years after that?
Yes. Yeah. It's always kind of been something that was always in the background, yeah.
Did you confront him on it at any point?
Always. I'm a very out there and put it in your face kind of person, and he knew it. And, you know, it was interesting because he would give me just enough to kind of get me to stop asking questions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To try to allay any fears that you
yeah.
had.
One of the best liars I've ever met in my entire life. And, you know, a month and a half ago, I wouldn't have told you that was the case. You know, it's just shocking to me that this man that I've been with for as long as we've been together, it could do this. I mean, I can't, the hurt and the shock and the, you know, disappointment is overwhelming at times. It really
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. And even though you may know something, you're hoping at least they're being honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we hear so many stories on television about people who have, like, for instance, Ted Haggard, who's straight with
yeah.
gay tendencies or whatever they want
yeah.
to call it.
Yeah. Or been, what was he, being molested or something
yeah,
as a
exactly.
child? Yeah.
Whatever. But,
yeah.
you know, but the thing
yeah.
is that at least we feel that even if somebody has some of these inklings that if they are married and they're telling you and proclaiming to you how much they love you,
yeah.
that they're not sitting there on the sidelines cheating on you. And jeopardizing you.
Yeah. yeah.
So was there any doubt in your mind that through all these years that he maybe was cheating on you?
There's been three times over the years, three
mm-hmm.
times over the time we've been together. And the one I pretty much, I talked to you a few weeks ago, right when he talked about telling me, you know, I'm gay, Amy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was all he was saying. And I knew there was something weird, and then I called you on the phone about this.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me, oh, there's been other times. And I'm
mm-hmm.
kind of thinking, wow. You know, I could pick the person.
Mm-hmm.
I knew everything about it. He had this man at our house for Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's
so
to me. Now, see, that's where I cross the line here.
Yeah. Oh.
You know,
this is where Bonnie is a good point to bring up. You know what? There's not choices in being a homosexual.
No.
There's choices you make when you're a husband and you're gay. You know, I had this, and Amy, my heart goes out to you. My now ex-husband did the same thing to me, not for Thanksgiving, but he brought one of his boyfriends home here for dinner on several occasions. Now, that's where you draw
the line.
Yeah.
When you
and he's done this twice. You know, after we were married, he did the same thing. He did the same thing with another person.
And to me, that is really so. There are no words for that because to me, it's in total violation of a woman's home.
Yeah.
It's in total violation of the marriage. I mean, it's bad enough about all the other betrayals, but to bring somebody into the marital home, you know, what a slap in your face.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get that whole thing, do you?
I don't either. And, you know, that's really the thing that I've raked him over the coals about the most. And
what's his response to you on that?
He agrees totally. He said that he was in a bad place. He sees what a whore. He just, there's a lot of remorse there,
mm-hmm.
as there should be. But, you know, he's trying really hard. I must tell you that I've never felt, you know, more honesty from him, and we've been connecting and talking, and I've pretty much been taking him back over our whole marriage, making him, you know, let me see it in a new light, and you know what he was thinking at the time. You know, some pretty substantial things have happened to us over the years, and I've made him go through all of those things with me, and we're probably not even halfway through. And I've made him go through all this stuff with me. He's still living in the house right now, obviously not in my bedroom, but he's in our house. And, you know, because we just financially just can't, you know, hack, you know, not being in different, you know, being in different houses right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made him go over stuff, and I must tell you, he's really shown me something that I haven't seen in our marriage, and I didn't even know it wasn't there. And he's tried really, really hard. I mean, as angry as I am at him, he's taken all that anger. He's tried really hard. He's begged my forgiveness. You know, do you ever think you can forgive me? You know, I want to work with you for the children.
And you know what, Amy? I think that's the first clue in forgiveness. And we often talk about forgiveness has to be earned.
Yeah.
That people
don't. And he knows it.
People can't automatically just give forgiveness.
No.
They have to really work for that forgiveness and really understand. And working for the forgiveness, to me, is several different issues. First of all, it's being responsible emotionally and financially to your family.
Yes.
That's number one.
He's tried really hard to do that.
And number two, it's understanding what you've done. You know, just saying I'm sorry for the sake of saying I'm sorry so things will be calm and quiet doesn't do it.
No.
You really have to understand the depth of betrayal that you, what you've done to your wife.
And he's starting to get that. You know, he's, I always call him, he's a lot slower processor than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And because I can really pop through things pretty quickly. I've had a pretty good background, you know, and he's never got, you know, he's, you know, and he's more of a, has to really think about it. And that's been tough on me because that means that, you know, I have to wait for him to catch up, basically. And, you know, sometimes that's a little difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've been trying really hard to, we both have, I think, because he knows that I just tend to, my wheels just go and I start talking about 20 different topics at the same time, and he kind of looks in a little shell shocked at me sometimes. So.
Can you tell people how you felt your marriage was going over the years? Did you feel you had a strong marriage?
Yes. You know, we always had a good sexual relationship. Okay, what I thought was a good sexual relationship, let me qualify that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people would have, you know, I've had my friend, oh, wow, you guys have, you guys are so close. I'm not saying we never, we fought. We've definitely had fights. But, and we've gone through a lot of really bad adversity. I mean, within the first 2-3 years of our marriage, his father died, my mother passed, both very suddenly and unexpected. They were both in their early 50s. We had a house fire that was horrible. We had our son was born 10 weeks early, was only 3 pounds, 3 ounces when he was born.
Uh-huh.
You know, 2 years later, we had my daughter. She was healthy and hale, no problem there. But, you know, there's been a lot of big issues that we've had. My husband's had a 5-way bypass. Our daughter was diagnosed with a really debilitating mental illness.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've had some really, and we've always pulled together on all of this stuff. You know, I've always felt like he was the person, you know, that's what he tells me. Well, I have, you know, I can't be your person that you come and talk to. And I go, well, sorry, I didn't have somebody else lined up for it, you know. I didn't have another person in the gates waiting to be my go-to person when you decided that you didn't want to be married to me anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so we talked a lot about that kind of stuff. And I don't know.
Would you have suspect? You did suspect all along. Like
yeah, pretty much.
So he was just not acting on it, or?
He had 3 different situations over the time we've been married, and he told me all of them. So,
mm-hmm.
And I asked him the other day, because I've been, you know, seeing my counselor. I've seen for a long time a counselor, and she goes, do you believe him? Do you think he's being honest? She asked me the other day, and I said, I don't know.
Right.
That was, had to be my answer.
Really too early in the game, you know,
yeah.
He's coming to being honest with himself or with you.
Yeah, and
I think they're honest with themselves to some degree, but they just try to block it out.
Sure. Oh, he's compartmentalizing a lot of things, no doubt about that. I've seen that repeatedly. And I call him on it all the time, or if he starts saying something.
If you don't mind, because I work with so many women that their husbands compartmentalize stuff. Could you give us some examples of that, if you don't mind?
Well, he'll tell me, you know, like I'll say, well, what's it feel like to you to think about me being with somebody else? You know, just to, you know, I want to rub it in a little bit, I'll be honest.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think about it, he tells me. I go, well, why wouldn't you think about it? It's going to be a very real possibility, I would imagine, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he'll tell me, well, you know, and I pretty much push it pretty hard. And, you know, there's times where, you know, he sees that I'm trying to, you know, help him come to grips with some of this stuff. And, you know, as much as I'm trying to do it for myself, to be honest. But, and he does. I mean, but I've seen him, you know, about thinking about how things are, thinking about how what his impact was on the family. I've seen him do that many times. Because, you know, our daughter is dealing with mental illness. And then on top of this, to add this, you know, insult to injury, if you will, is uh-huh. pretty devastating. And what
I
else?
I think a lot of times the dynamics in the marriage are so different because someone is living a lie.
Yeah.
That you really don't know what a real marriage would have been like or an authentic marriage would have been like. And that so many times when we have problems in our marriage, like they say, it takes two to make a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's not that way with this. And I don't know why people can't understand that.
Right.
This is not like two straight people who are fighting.
No.
This is one person who's living a lie and living somebody who he's not, who's
right.
frustrated to start with because he is living a lie and because there, a lot of times he's not where he wants to be, feeling angry because and taking it out on his wife over things that have nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and I just see so much of my life now colored by this because
mm-hmm.
It's like the aha moment of knowing that all the arguments we've had is only been me responding to the situation that I didn't have all the pieces to,
information to, exactly.
And it's like shocking to me. I think about, oh my, you know, I've even, you know, still come up with stuff. Oh my God, that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, and I've, and I,
puzzle with
pardon?
The pieces. It's like you're trying to put together a puzzle with the wrong pieces.
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, and I told him, I go, you made me this way. I was simply responding to a situation that you refused to give me all the information to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there just nodding at me, agreeing with me. You know, there's not a lot of disagreement from him at this point.
I think that's an important point. I work with a lot of women, and Bonnie, I'm sure you have too, in where that the gay husband feels that they're not lying if they withhold information.
Exactly.
Yeah,
do you know that he told me? I just found him out in this recent relationship I was just telling you about that he had. And he had no intention of telling me about it. And that really upset our 18-year-old daughter. And she confronted him about it today. She said, why did Mom have to pull it out of you about this man?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I should have told her. He goes, I'm glad she made me tell her. And it's what he's telling our daughter.
Well, they
I'm
don't
glad.
Want to tell us because they don't want to lose what they have.
Well, but he's already, you know, wanting to get out of the marriage and stating to me he's gay, but yet he's not willing to come clean on all his other relationships, on this relationship that he's having, on
mm-hmm.
this cheater that he was cheating with. And,
is he still with the guy?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. I told him. And
is that
he,
now
actually,
or as far as you know now?
Right. But he stands to lose a lot if he continues a relationship with us. Our daughter was very vocal with him about saying, if you stay with this man, I will not have anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I even confronted Marty. I go, do you think this man would pick his children or would pick you over his children?
Mm-hmm.
No. I said, then why are you? And I think that made him think long and hard about the whole situation.
Well,
and
don't count on it.
You know, I don't.
When these guys are driven by, you know, love or lust or whatever you want to call
yeah.
it, that, you know, they can say whatever they want to say to you, but that pull is so strong that
I agree.
There's really nothing you can do to stop it, nothing more than you've done to stop it in all these years.
Right. No, I agree with you. I do agree with you, but, you know, if there's anything that he is motivated by, it would be his kids, and he knows he'll lose them. He really does, because they are just, you know, dead set against this man, and this man's not really in a position to be in a relationship anyway.
Do your children know him, too?
I'm sorry? What?
Do your children know the man?
Yeah, he sat at our Thanksgiving table and Christmas table with them.
Oh, this is the one that sat with you?
Yep.
Okay. And what did he say? It was a friend of his?
Yeah. Exactly.
And did he tell you how long he's been seeing him?
Yeah.
How long?
Well, I've known about the, you know, that they we were friends. I didn't think it was a big deal to have a friend, you know.
Absolutely. How long?
And they helped to move, and that was like in September. I think. And he said they had sex twice. So, that's what he said. I'm not saying I believe him.
Twice that day.
Yeah, well, yeah.
More like it. Did he say how he met him?
Yeah, through work.
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody at work. But he's still what we call on the down low, this man. So he's not really, he's telling Marty that he's bisexual.
Yeah, well, we know how we feel about bisexual in this group.
Uh-huh, yep, we do. And interestingly enough, my husband agrees wholeheartedly with you on that. I think that's really interesting. Because he tried that with me for a long time, too, the whole bisexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just held up a false hope that somehow, you know, I still was in the running, basically.
Exactly. So, and that's why I tell women, you know, it's just so hard. I'd much rather have a guy say he's gay, because at least, you have to deal with it, and then you have to make a move.
Yeah.
But when you're saying bisexual, it's that false hope that comes through each time.
And I lived off that for probably 10 years.
That's what I was going to ask. How long did you live off of that, thinking?
Oh, at least 10 years.
Wow. When did he finally confess to you that it's not bisexuality?
Oh, about a month ago.
About a month. So that came about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, in October.
You pushed it, right?
I'm sorry?
And that's because you only pushed the point.
No, he actually did bring that up. No, I pushed the point about who he was cheating with.
Mm-hmm.
I really pushed that one. He would have told me if I hadn't pushed that. And that really upset our daughter. She really confronted him about that today. And I just let it go because I think he does need to answer these questions. You know, our children are old enough to hear, you know, they're 18 and 20, so they're old enough to hear this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of let him have to deal with that one. And he said there was no excuse for it. It was wrong. And that he should have just, he wishes to God that he would have just come clean. That's what he told her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of contriteness there. There's a lot of shame on his part. And, you know, it's not about the gay part. It's about the, you know, lying and cheating part.
Exactly.
Right.
And I would like to point out two things that I think are wonderful. I love to find strength in people and families when you go through a tragedy like this. So, you know, two great things that you've mentioned that I would like to point out. One is, I am so glad that he sat down and you all got to sit down as a family and ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of our women don't get that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to discount your pain because it's still just as painful. But
right.
I see that as a strength. I'm glad that's happening for you and for
it's
the
It's happened
children,
several times,
I
yeah.
I agree. Your children are old enough to know at that point.
Yep.
And, you know, and every child is different. So as a parent, you think they're old enough, and that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, how wonderful of you to raise a gay son and him be comfortable in coming out to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tremendous tribute to you.
Well, you know, it was hard. It's not easy, I'll tell you. I always tell my kids it's not easy being green. But, you know, it's what else could I do, honestly?
Mm-hmm.
I felt that there was no other choice. This is what my son, you know, and I tell him, I go, you have to live a life of integrity. Regardless of what you decide to be, you have to live a life with integrity, and that's what I expect from you.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful that you can tell your child that. That's
wonderful. Oh, and he knows it.
Has your son been involved in any relationships?
Not that he's been willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You know, I'm fine with that, you know, but I really don't think there's been anything. I'm sure he would be sharing a lot more if there was something to share.
Mm-hmm.
So I know my kid.
But
that is one thing I would know about, yeah.
But do you feel that when the time will come that you're going to be open to that?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Because I really don't see our son living any other way than this.
No, I know it's difficult. Like I say, as a mother of, you know, someone who is a lesbian, you know, having to accept women coming into my home, you know, holding my daughter, embracing her. Even though intellectually you know what it is, when you visually have to see it, sometimes it's really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because we're just not socialized that way.
Right.
You know, and this is not something that we're expecting to happen to us.
Right.
And it's not that we have anything against our children. I mean, we love our children. It's just a very hard thing to have up front, you know, personal in our face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I always embraced her girlfriends as if they were my own daughters because I never, you know, wanted her to feel that same kind of rejection that her father must have felt that made him go into a closet for so many years.
Yeah, and see, that's what's interesting to me is that our children just cannot identify with how hard it was for their father growing up in such a different world than they have grown up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we are very, you know, we talk about stuff, we try and be very sensitive to other people's differences. They've been raised around developmentally disabled children, deaf children. You know, we've got a lot of friends like that. You know, anything you can think of, we've always tried really hard to talk about that and be really open about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they are very, very accepting kids. And another interesting thing I wanted to bring up, Bonnie, was that, you know how you were talking about getting the children involved and in the middle of all this?
Mm-hmm.
That has been a difficult thing in our house, I will share, because I told you our 20-year-old son is here in the house, whereas our daughter lives in the dorms at school.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been kind of hard because Jared wants to, you know, what I call girlfriend it about what's going on with me and his father.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of had to say, you know, we can't do that. I said, I'll share with you what I feel is appropriate to share with you.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, you know, we don't have a real big house, so he probably hears way more than he should be hearing. But,
yeah, but he has to respect your boundaries also
yeah.
as his mother.
Yeah.
And
you know, because he's like,
mother.
You know, he's like, I can't believe that your dad did that. You know, and I go, you know, we have to step back.
Let me ask you this question, Amy. Do you think that he was suspicious before you were?
I asked him, and he said no. You know, because I think it comes down to kids not being able to see their parents like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I don't want to think about my parents doing it, so why would I expect my kids to want to think about their parents doing it? And I just think that, you know, that's what's really tough, and my children have brought this up repeatedly when they've, you know, disclosed to people what's happening in our house, and they will say, oh, that's great, you should be really happy your dad can finally come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that upsets our son more than anything, because
mm-hmm.
he's like, well, don't they get it? You know, it's not that part, you know, that our dad's gay. It's that, you know, he's married to you and he's not supposed to be gay.
Well, I think more of it is that, once again, as you were being very generous in saying that when we were growing up, or I won't say we because you're younger than me, but not that much younger, but when you were growing up, it just wasn't something that, you know, people would talk about, or being gay was still something that was very unacceptable, especially you grew up in the, you know, right in the whole prelude of the AIDS times.
Yes.
When it was very difficult to be gay then.
Yes.
And a lot of men who were gay certainly hid in the guise of marriage because it was just easier to do that than to have to face, you know, the death sentence that AIDS was bringing.
Exactly.
And so there was so much social pressure, and people were so prejudiced against gay people. You know, I lived through that whole 80s and 90s
mm-hmm.
period where gays were beaten up because of the fact that, you know, they were spreading AIDS. There was so much misunderstanding on the whole subject.
Yeah.
So maybe your kids can't really understand that,
no.
But I guess the part that's harder to understand is, yes, if you're gay and you can't do anything about it, fine, but you don't have to have that kind of betrayal that's brought right up front in your mother's face.
Yes.
So that's probably bothering them more than the fact that he wasn't openly gay or leaving, you know, or meeting life in a gay man with a woman. Am I right?
Yeah, and, you know, and they're very protective of me because they see that I've been wronged, you know, in a really bad way. And that upsets them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and let them know, you know that I can take care of it. And believe me, I've you know, confronted your father about all of these things. And, you know, I think that that helps a little bit because it's really hard on them to see me, you know, hurt in so many horrible
sure.
ways.
Exactly.
And I, you know, that's the kind of kids I raised too, you know. And then I was going to also go back to the fact that, you know, I grew up in a really Roman Catholic family. And it was a very small town, and I honestly can probably tell you that I don't ever remember ever seeing a gay person growing up before I went to college,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't even really know what it was until I went away to college, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I was very protected and very naive about a lot of things. I've always had, you know, common sense has been pretty good there, but, you know, I was not sexually active in any way,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'd never done a lot of these things. And, you know, and I think my husband heard about what you said about, you know, picking a type
mm-hmm.
of wife type thing.
And, right.
Yeah, and he wanted to be a little offensive about it, and I started talking to him about it, and he's kind of seeing how true that was. So.
Right, and I'm not saying it's a conscious thing on their behalf
no.
or on their part, but, look, when you're looking to find someone to keep your secret, you're looking for someone who will keep your secret. You know, it's that simple. You want to find someone where, you know, they're not going to be questioning you or they're not going to understand it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of living that whole life cycle.
Yeah. Well, then I find myself mourning that 20-something that I was when we got married. And, you know, I was just out of college, you know, just, you know, looking to start a career. And I really mourn her because she was done wrong. I mean, badly. And, you know, I don't know, I can't fix it. I can't go back. But, you know, I have some real empathy for that person that I was, you know. And it's a toughie.
But the good thing is that, you know, you're finding out now, which is better than never finding out.
Yeah.
And even though you feel old at 48, believe me, you have another good 48 years to go.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to look at this as a transition for yourself, and it's going to take some time and a lot of work, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's why the more support that you can get, the better you're going to be. And the more help to get you through this, because there's still a lot of things that you haven't even encountered in your head that are going to start coming up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Absolutely. Like Bonnie says, you know, it's a grieving process. And there's all sorts of stages and things that you'll go through. You know, there's disbelief, there's bargaining, you know, and all these different things that you go through. And the interesting part about grief is you don't necessarily stay in one stage or pass through one stage and go to another. The interesting thing about it is grief is really a dance. I mean, you'll dance back and forth with all the different stages. I mean, it's just really not an easy thing to go through, and you just have to honor that.
Yeah.
You have to honor the, you know, the depression, the part of it. You have to honor yourself and be patient and kind with yourself. It's like the first year. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, when does the grief end? But, you know, the grief, there's not really an ending period to it. What it does, you know, in the first year, there's like a fog. We call it brain fog or whatever, you know. It's just this thing that sort of, it's powerful. It takes over. It's just like how you said, you know, you miss that woman that just got fresh out of school and starting her career and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you grieve who you were, who you could have been. You grieve the future should have had.
Misty, can we just stop there for 1 second?
Okay.
I think you brought up the most excellent point. You grieve a lot for who you could have been, because in these marriages, you never know who you could have been.
Exactly.
Because you're spending so much time of your life second-guessing yourself and trying to conform to a way of life to make your husband happy so that he'll want you, that you really never do actualize. You know, you try to fit into what he wants rather than who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that was one of the things for me. I totally lost all my own identity trying to be someone who my husband could love enough in my marriage. And I look at women who spend 20, 30 years of their life who really could have done wonderful things, but they're so busy worrying about where their husbands are, what they're doing, who they're with, that, you know, they're afraid to leave the house. They become virtual prisoners of the house because they're afraid that if their husbands walk somewhere, they're going to be doing something, and you really, you know, mutate your whole life. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that the whole situation is, you know, you look at it, there's so many different parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it so complicated. You know, so I have to commend you once again for just being able to call and you being at 1 month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're doing wonderful, Amy.
Well, you know, I kind of feel
another
like,
month from now you might be doing horrible, so you know.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the dance.
You're still in a shock situation.
Well, I mean, I've certainly been passing back and forth between all those levels of grief that you were talking about. You know, I used to, I've studied Elizabeth Kubler-Ross a lot in school.
That's
and
the model I use. I think that's the simplest model.
Yeah, it is. Mm. And it makes so much sense. I mean, I'll think I'm doing fine, and then all of a sudden it just crashes, you know. And, you know, I've been trying to write a lot, and I've been trying, you know, I've been seeing a counselor for a long time, way before this ever happened, and she knows me pretty well. Even if she's not really on hand to deal with exactly this type of thing, she's been helping me to, you know, go through my own things, even way before this ever happened. And, well, not really, but because it's been happening for a long time. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, but she's been helping.
But at least it makes sense to you now why so many of these things
yes.
have happened.
Yes, it really does. And I think that's been helpful. That's been very helpful.
Well, we want you to know that we're here to give you whatever support you need along the way.
Thank
and
you.
And that you should never have to feel that you're alone. And hopefully
Thanks.
You can join our chat room.
Yeah, I've been trying. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
Because you'll meet other women like yourself who have been married for long-term marriages, who also lived without the puzzle pieces being fit together, and who are some of them who are still living that way.
Yeah.
You know, we're helping them piece it together. And I think that there's always comfort in numbers, because I really feel this is an isolating feeling kind of situation.
It is. It is, because there's, you know, I told my brother that the other day. I go, I have to deal with the stigma. And he goes, no, you don't have any stigma. It's it's your husband. And I go, well, it's still there. It's still there.
And you feel like you're the only one who's going through this.
No.
You know, you feel like, who else is going through this?
Yeah.
You know, it is very isolating, and that's why when I tell people there are millions of women in this situation, and they can't believe it. You know, they think that maybe that's, you know, every now and then it happens. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
But, of course, when it happens to you, do you know other women who have been in this situation? I'm just curious. Before this.
Not personally.
I mean, had you heard about it?
Yes. I'd heard about it, but I can't tell you I could, you know, say a name or anything. I couldn't name anybody that I personally know. But, you know, it's interesting because I've spoken to doctors and they go, oh, you don't know how much I hear this.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was interesting that my gynecologist said that.
Uh-huh.
How many people she has heard have gone through the exact same thing. And, you know, in the small town where you live, you know. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I think a lot of it's because when you get to a point of a gynecologist, a lot of our women are infected with sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes. And thank God that's not an issue. My husband's been tested thoroughly, and there's nothing there. So that was something we, you know, as a professional, he understands that's pretty darn important. So he did, you know, had all that done. So.
Well, hopefully you'll understand, even though he may not have anything, you need to get tested also.
Right,
because it's because it's certainly possible that he doesn't have anything, but you could,
yeah.
And not to alarm you even more, but it's really important, you know, early in the game, you know, to just check yourself out and just to have that peace of mind that you know that nothing's there that you have to think about.
Right. I've done that, so that's good.
Well, we're really so happy that you called us tonight.
Well, thank you, ladies. You're doing good work.
And we think that, you know, you really added a lot of input to women who are listening to this and sharing your experience and making them feel so not so alone. And we hope you'll call us back again.
I plan to. Thank
give
you so much.
Give us some updates and give us some of the feelings that you're going through and let us know how you're doing.
Okay. I would like to do that.
All
thank
right,
you.
Amy. Well,
right.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Better days are ahead. We promise
yes.
you that.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Not real soon, but, you know, but they will be here. I always tell women, I wish I had those ruby slippers. You can just click your heels and be a year ahead of yourself, but, you know, it doesn't work that way. But we'll be with you through the whole trip on the way there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't you hate hearing those stories, Misty?
It's heartbreaking. It really is. And I think that Amy spoke to a lot of people tonight because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's had some good marriage. You know, it was good in place, and she thought things were going well. And I also think it's important that, you know, she did have the inkling of knowing, and he disclosed some things. But yet,
women still don't understand that. They still feel. See, that goes back to where we started off tonight with that word bisexuality, giving women false hope that something could change. And when you think about the fact that she said she put in an extra 10 years based on that fact, thinking that maybe things would change when, in fact, they never could change, where perhaps, you know, she could have moved on in her life sooner, that, you know, you really have to hurt for someone who had to go through that experience.
Absolutely. It's heartbreaking. And isn't it interesting now that her husband is admitting to her that it wasn't a bisexual issue. He's gay.
Well, one thing I will say about her husband, the fact that he's willing to really try to work through the forgiveness part, the fact that he's encouraging her to find support, because to be honest with you, in her case, her husband came to me first and said that, you know, he's going through this quandary and he's looking for support for his wife. So I always feel that if a husband at least takes those steps, it shows that there's some kind of forgiveness that he's working for. So before we end our show tonight, Misty, I want to talk a little more about your coaching for straight wives, and maybe you can tell people about some of your upcoming sessions.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, thanks to you. Like I told you, I started this. I have to say, I was so naive in realizing that there were approximately 4 million women involved in this. I still find that shocking even today as a professional working in the field. It's just, it's unbelievable that that many women are going through, you know, these types of situations. So with your urging, I got into coaching. It's not therapy. There's a little difference. And mostly the largest difference is in coaching and therapy is coaching is not any type of crisis intervention. You know, I don't provide anything like that. However, coaching focuses on what's going on in your life right now and what direction do you want to go. It provides support. It's like
and
I'm
it also helps get there, right? You give them the steps they need to get there.
Absolutely.
All the interventions they need and the different steps they need to take and different exercises to do it with.
Absolutely. And that's a benefit of being broken open, because you know what? You can start building from the foundation up.
Mm-hmm.
And we start with good, strong foundations. And two of the things I've got coming up, is the Saturday seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And I started those at the beginning of the year, and they're becoming quite popular. They're very inexpensive. They're $30. It's for approximately an hour and a half. And it's always the second Saturday of each month.
Mm-hmm.
Each month is a different topic. This month, the topic is on grief.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just coming up so often. And I find that education in terms of grief is the best thing that I can give these women I work with. This is the first thing we work on. When a woman comes to me, is the stages in the process of grief. Because if you understand it a little better, it's not going to take away your pain, but you know what? It brings some clarity to you. It brings some clarity to the situation. It brings some predictability. Because, you know, when your world's turned upside down, you don't know what's happening with all these grief emotions. Then when you start understanding grief a little better, it seems to be a little bit calmer. I find that the women are passing through the stages a little easier when they understand them better.
And that's coming up on March what?
That is March the 13th on Saturday.
Okay, and people can do that through the internet, correct?
Pardon?
Is that through the internet or by phone?
That will be by phone.
Okay.
Only thing they have to do would be email me, and I can get them set up, and that is my name, my email address. It's Misty, M-I-S-T-I, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Hall, H-A-L-L, at AOL.com. And you also have it in your newsletter, my email address.
I do, but for new listeners who aren't getting my newsletter, feel free to go to my website at www.gayhusbands.com and just request my newsletter or request information about Misty's coaching. Misty also has full-scale coaching for, what is it, 6 sessions?
I have the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 4 sessions. That's
4
weeks we meet over the telephone. And the great part about these Straight Stuff workshops is you get to connect with other women in a small group. I usually have anywhere from 4 to 8. I keep them small.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some individual attention. You get certain tools and tips to help you move forward. And it's just, I'm getting tremendous feedback from them. And that one starts March the 29th, and it will go for approximately 4 weeks. And each Monday night, we'll meet on the phone from the comforts of your own home from 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the great part about this is when you join in on any of these activities that I offer,
and once again, Misty, I just have to say that women spend tens of thousands of dollars on useless therapy for a very small, minimal charge because you're part of our network. People can get, you know, pay less for one session with you than they're paying for, you know, 4 sessions with you than they pay for one counselor and come out feeling good about themselves and about the situation. So once again, let's just give your information. It's Misty Lynn, M-I-S-T-I-L-Y-N-N, Hall, H-A-L-L, all one word, at AOL. Or you can always write to me at bondk@AOL.com. Well, believe it or not, our showtime is over for this week. And we really want to thank our special caller in, Amy, and also our letter writer, Fred, and anyone else who would be interested in being part of our show. We will be back next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Misty, thank you so much for co-hosting the show and giving your wonderful input, insight, and words of wisdom. I think that women learn so much from what you have to say.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Bonnie. I'm honored to be here among the straight wives, and an honor to be here among you. Thank you.
Thank you. You send love to all our audience, and
absolutely.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.